loud of my kids.
I mean, that's fair because it goes Malcolm and Maya are like 1A, 1B. And then me when I choose. And then Jonna, like, never.
Yeah, when you choose.
Unless I'm mad.
When you choose.
Yeah. When I choose.
When you choose.
When I choose. Mm. Mm. I'm not a loud person by nature. What are you talking about?
Mm. I think we, like, if we're like having a conversation, and but not just like a casual conversation with anybody in a group of people, we're usually the loudest ones. All of us.
Pretty fair.
Yeah,
I've noticed that.
All of us. And it's not just biological, because your dad can be pretty loud too.
Yeah.
And we're not related by blood.
Well, you know, she is.
Yeah, I'm saying me and your dad.
What about it?
Well, that's funny, because between the two of us, she's still a lot quieter than the two of us are, than her actual parents. Yeah. We're both
me?
Loud. Like your dad in the morning. That's just something. You think he likes to talk about me. I know I'm loud. He's not aware of his loudness. He just really.
He'll be talking all loud, and you'll be like, look, you're talking loud right now. He'll be like, no, I'm not. I'm talking real low, really calm.
I'm sorry.
Yo, what were you, gargling ice? Like, what the hell just happened?
Because I was trying not to have that hard laugh thing come out.
And all yes. Right.
Fair enough.
I think this is why I have so many different laughs.
You have.
I feel like they're situational, and sometimes I have to like hold one of them back. And yeah.
I just feel dumb laughing no matter what.
I mean, that's fair.
And I laugh a lot.
Because I was going to say, you look dumb laughing.
You look terrible. You look everybody, dumb when you laugh.
Everyone does. No one's cute. No one has a cute laugh. There's not a single cute laugh in the world.
I don't know.
Nobody.
Okay, well, okay. Not a real laugh. Maybe not cute.
Not a real laugh. There's that fake laugh.
It's not even cute. I'm just it's no, like annoying. Just
and it is, and it looks fake too.
It's annoying as hell.
It's like at least my laugh is real, even if it's little seemingly over the top. She it's does. Just what it she is. Goes, like, everybody knows it. I'm telling you, it's just like I'm famous for my laugh.
Oh yes.
Okay.
We all know it.
So we're here, still hitting the shit we missed. I'm actually surprised we got through four. We got through all 4 weeks of this month. That is impressive.
Well, you know how bad it would have been.
We need one of those. I thought that was the applause.
No,
button.
That's the wrong one.
I thought that was the applause. Either, I mean, it still works. Jamaican air horns. Round of applause for that.
We got on the back. Because it would have been really bad if we couldn't.
Yeah, we're doing the shit we missed shit and we couldn't even.
And miss something in the shit we missed. So,
which would have made it a double shit we missed when we do it next time.
We're not missing the shit we missed.
We got to the shit. Not all of it, man. There's still some good. We like Dread was one that we were supposed to do.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a good mom. You didn't like it, but I loved that movie.
It was good. It was good.
I didn't like the first one. I didn't like the second one.
We had Karate Kid. Which I really just want to make fun of at some point. I really need.
We didn't even watch that.
No, I know, but it still would have been.
I'm glad.
Because we never got to it. That's what I'm saying. There's others.
I'm glad I don't care.
In fact, the craziest thing is I don't remember, right? So this was part of our box office failures that we liked.
Oh, yeah.
We only did one other movie for that month because I think once again, somebody COVID-ed it up.
Look.
It was there
might have been something else too, like a holiday or something.
I don't know, but we only did Ghostbusters. That was the only one we got to.
Yeah,
and what was the month again?
That was when we were doing the like movies that were box office failures that we liked.
Oh, Ghostbusters wasn't it?
What?
Wasn't the one with the women?
Yeah, it was a failure.
The women one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was the only one we did, and we
failed to do the box office failures. Wow.
Yeah. And this one was also a box office failure. It is The Suicide Squad. And I think that was
still bothers me.
This was
it bothers me too.
Cuz this is 2021, so it was like still COVID-ish and it didn't get this one didn't get released in theaters at all.
No, that was on the
So that was only streaming. Which worked for me, you know.
Yeah.
That was cool.
I missed it. It was.
I mean, of course, it probably would have done. It probably would have done really big.
Well, I mean, it would have. I think it would have done. I think it would have done numbers regardless.
Yeah.
I mean,
I didn't like the first one.
The first one broke records.
I like the first one. It's just that I had no. I had no set up expectations either. So it was just like, oh, this is an interesting, crazy movie with a mishmash of characters that seemingly are going along the road. Which would have been
fine, but the movie itself.
No real goal. It wasn't a good
movie. Well, because the one thing that it does that's stupid, it doesn't give you any clear direction of what this movie is about. Like, yeah. You have her assembling a suicide squad. They never tell you why. And then one of the person who's supposed to be on the team turns out to be bad. And then that's like the reason they're fighting, but it doesn't make any sense. Then you have the Joker somewhere just running around doing shit. Like none
yeah,
of it
to makes throw him in to it. Make Harley Quinn make sense to people who don't know.
Like the whole movie.
Jared Leto and his overacting.
That stupid ass laugh. Like, oh God, he's a joke to me, man. Like, he hasn't been.
That's the one that did Morbius too, right?
Yeah, he's done a lot of stuff actually, and that's the crazier part.
Yeah, I feel
part.
Like I've seen.
He was
him
in
on
that movie.
He was in a band. He had a band. What was it called?
30 Seconds to Mars. Which not bad. They have some songs that I. They have a song that a I couple. Like. Never mind. I won't go with some. They have one song that I like, and that's yeah. it. And I didn't even know that was him.
But I don't hate Jared Leto. That just is.
Nah, he's over the
hey,
top.
Jonna. So that bag right there and the zipper farthest to the left on the bottom there, I have a one of my lip balms in there.
Oh my gosh.
No, though, on the other side, I said farthest to the left.
Riveting, okay. Riveting yeah, podcast stuff right here, guys. This is top.
I'm so, wow.
Because I can't find it.
This is, yeah. So this one was interesting for a lot of reasons because when it came out, it was already like Will Smith wasn't going to be able to do it due to conflict reasons was what they said. And then they were
that
like,
what it was?
That's what they said. Because yeah,
conflict was what?
Like schedule. Like he was probably doing another movie or something else. Yeah. Oh, so he wasn't going to be able to do it. So then people were like, oh, well, shit, what the hell is going to happen? And then they were like, well, Idris Elba's going to be in it. They were like, oh, is he replacing him? Is he going to be playing the same character? And then that was like for months before they even had like.
Yeah,
said who he was, that he was going to be a different
character.
I'm glad
character. They didn't do that.
Well, no, it would have been dumb. I don't think they were going to do that. And it's easier, though, because, like, with Suicide Squad, it is a mod, like you said, it's a hodgepodge of characters.
Yeah,
you can easily just bring in another character. You don't have to try to replace anybody. So it's so much easier than be like, oh, this person's not going to be in it? Cool, just get a different character.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's easy. I mean, that's got to be a writer's dream. You don't have to recast a single person.
Yeah.
Ever.
And you don't have to worry about that character standing up to the previous one, even if it's just because that person is the only person that's brought that character to life. That creates a situation that's sometimes hard to overcome. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Agreed.
So I'm glad we didn't have to do
but
that.
I did. Yeah. So this was dope. Where do we start? In the beginning,
typically.
So in the beginning, it's Savant. He's got platinum blonde hair.
One of my favorite actors. I like this dude.
I always forget his name.
I do too.
Okay.
But he is really good at stuff. Like it's right here. He's Michael Rooker. Michael Rooker is dope. He's
I
a
love
good
him.
Actor.
Put it down. Sometimes he plays really bad characters, but I still like him.
Yeah, I like him as an actor. He's good.
And now he gets to join the pantheon of people who have played Marvel and DC characters. That's pretty cool, yeah.
True that.
True that, indeed. True that.
I did mention that earlier.
Did you? So, you know.
Don't nobody be listening to you.
That's true. It's true.
Yeah.
So now we got Savant. He's in a cell. He's doing his thing.
Well, he's outside.
In an outside cell.
Still outside. Also, when you're in prison, everything's a cell. Okay. Even when you're outside.
Well, so he's in the outside cell. And there's a bird that comes right there. He's throwing a ball against the wall with precision. And then he sees the bird and he decides to kill it with the ball.
I do find it amusing that DC has so many characters whose like ability is being super accurate.
Yeah.
Because we got Deadshot. In this one, we have Peacemaker and Bloodsport. A Savant. Green Arrow, Merlin, the list goes on to people who are just like, yeah, I'm really good at shooting stuff.
Right, yeah.
Well, I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, even if it's common,
but
I always find it
amusing too, like a villain who boasts that he never misses can never beat the bad guy. Like Deadshot is a Batman villain.
Right.
And his whole thing is like, I never miss, but he always misses Batman. You can't hit that motherfucker.
This is true. This is true.
Interesting.
That's a funny thing.
Yeah. Interesting.
Like, no, I never miss unless you're like a main character.
Let's not talk about that. Let's just appreciate characters.
That's funny.
Back to DC-isms.
Let's just appreciate characters with really good precision, okay? So anyways, they, Amanda Waller, I guess, calls him.
Yeah, like, oh, is she not Amanda Waller?
No, I say I guess all the time. I know I say that all the time, and I don't realize until stop I
guessing.
Hear her voice.
I need some clarity. I need some clarity. No guessing.
Well, she calls him in or whatever. They immediately put a thing in his
bomb.
Neck. Well, yeah, just in case they don't cooperate or whatever. And she's like, you're a part of the Suicide Squad now. And
yeah,
he wasn't invited.
Because he was like, because basically cause you're, like, you're up. So he's like, they put him up. And then he runs into Rick Flag, who everybody seems to respect because he immediately shakes his hand as a villain. Like, everybody seemingly just respects Rick Flag, which is fair because he's an upstanding chap. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know,
he's Captain America without the juice.
Essentially, yeah. And he's like, so he's explaining it to him, like, hey, you know, he was like, we're not the Suicide Squad. It's kind of an offensive term. Only we can say that. And he's like, we prefer Task Force X. And then they kind of just do like a pan shot of who's all there. And you're looking at it and you just know, like, just based on.
It's not going to make it.
You're just like, based on the history of the Suicide Squad, you're like, they're all going to die, aren't they? This is fucking ridiculous.
So you got him, and then you got the Weasel.
Javelin. Mongal, which, what a name. Mongal, because there's a character named Mongol, who is a Superman villain.
Okay.
And she's Mongal. Because she's a gal. That is fucking terrible. DC, man. DC is fucking.
Hey, keeping it old school.
I mean, look, She-Hulk. It is what it is.
I like how they did that in the show with She-Hulk. They're just like, they started calling me She-Hulk. I guess I'm She-Hulk.
No. Yeah, she had no cool. say whatsoever.
She's like, okay, let's
go with that. I can't think of any other name.
Yeah, so you have Blackguard, TDK, Captain Boomerang. Woo! And yeah, that's pretty much the team.
Well,
Detachable Man?
That's TDK.
Oh, one was ass?
that is Blackguard.
Oh, okay.
Played by shithead, complete douchebag, Pete fucking Davidson. I just don't like him. I didn't like him in Saturday Night Live.
I think he's kind of funny.
And I've never. He's in movies that I've watched that I've just been like.
I don't think he's the most hilarious.
How did you
person,
get here?
But
like, who do you know?
Characters I've seen and stuff.
Well,
and it's
started dating that Ariana Grande.
Man, who didn't? Like, at this point, who cares? Like,
but that's what they're like. Oh.
And you know what? I do think there's something to that too, where it's like who you date kind of boosts your profile, and then all of a sudden now you're a thing. Because I had never even heard this dude had been on Saturday Night Live for a long time, and I had never heard his name.
I've seen his face, but I couldn't have put it with a name for a long time.
No. I didn't even know. I had no idea who he was. You're and then like, people were like, Ariana Grande and Pete Davidson. I'm like, who the fuck is? I barely know who Ariana Grande is. Like,
I mean, I understand why they made a big deal. Like, oh, she's dating an SNL.
Alum, which is what they
call
everyone.
Well, not just that, he looked like a
Beetlejuice
before he died.
And she looked like she looked. So that, I mean, that was always going to be a thing, no matter what.
White girl who thinks she's black.
Yeah. But anyways, yes, Davidson.
So yeah, they're loading up, and then we get to meet Harley, yay, who was previously free, and then she got caught again. Like, how unfortunate is that?
Yeah.
It was like, what happened? She was like, I got road rage in a bank. No big deal.
In a bank.
Yeah. So it's like, so at that point, it's Flag, her, and Boomerang are the only returning members of this team. And yeah, it's pretty cool. So, I mean, it's like, yeah, you get that. So you feel like there's something there. And then they immediately just sweep that right from under. Yeah.
Yeah. With the quickness.
Yeah. So they get to this drop zone. And Weasel drowns because he can't swim.
That's freaking great.
Which, thank
They're like,
God.
Nobody knew the Weasel could swim.
I couldn't have seen how he was going to like progress
but that's
in
how
this
you know.
Movie on the
like,
team.
I honestly, like, even when they did the little vignette when they were before the movie came out and they were showing like all the different people who were going to be in it, I was like, dead, definitely dead, super dead, completely dead. You're not come on. Like, you know what I mean? And it was like, yeah, he's dead. He's not making it past the first round. And he literally did not.
Yeah.
And yikes. Yeah, so they get there. And Blackguard apparently gives sold everybody up. He was like, hey, it's me. I called you. I was like, how? From where? Like, when would you get that phone call?
Secret.
He was like, it's me, guys. I called you. And then they're just like, fuck this guy. And they blow his face right. Not even up. In. They blow his face in. And it is so satisfying, man.
No.
I watched that like 16 times in a row.
Gross. No.
Just that. Whoop, pew, yeah.
No.
And then everything goes to shit right there.
This scene is terrible.
Oh my God.
This whole scene is a massacre. It's just terrible.
It is a massacre.
One by one, they're just getting messed up.
It is nutso. It's like
they had to come out with characters, name them, and do all that just to have so many people just go.
It reminds me of that Deadpool. Deadpool 2.
Yeah. Oh my God. When he brings that team together,
they all end up dead.
Brad Pitt was the Invisible Man.
Wow. That's funny as just hell. Like that, except the one chick. That was
Domino. Because she's lucky.
Oh yeah, that's right.
But it was like, yeah, so everyone's dying. Some pretty bad ones here. Mongal tries to take down the helicopter and it takes her down. TDK detaches his arms and just like slaps them.
It was really weird.
They're like, yo, what the fuck? And Rick Flag's like, I didn't pick this goddamn team. Like, he's getting smoked up. Javelin gets shot up. Boomer. Oh, man.
Oh.
That one hit me kind of hard.
Yeah.
Because when Mongal tries to take out the shit, she starts hitting the trees and all the like debris from the trees just starts stabbing him up.
Ugh.
And then he blows up, and then the fan comes behind him, so he's like quadruple dead.
Yeah.
And I was like, and it was the one, and it's like, if you watch the first one and you grow some sort of attachment to characters, you're kind of like, damn.
Yeah.
I know.
Like, that sucked. Like, it was, like, when I first saw it, I was like,
I get attached to characters.
I figured everyone else was going to die, but I didn't think he was going to die. Right, and it was really upsetting.
Yeah, that was kind of messed up.
I wasn't ready for it.
It was messed up what happened to him. But, What else happens?
And then, Harley talks to Javelin on his dying, while he's dying. He was like, take the Javelin, call from God or some shit like that. And then she gets caught. Rick Flag, I don't know what happens to him.
She's upset that he died before he finished his sentence.
Yeah.
He's like, take it for
But the most important part of this is Savant, who we see at the beginning, and we're thinking he's going to, like you said, like he's going to be hot shit. He sees all that shit and he's like, nope. He starts trying to turn around, and Amanda Waller's like, you need to turn back around or I will blow this fucking bomb sky high. And she does.
Yep.
Which is par the course for any, so whether it's comic books, animated movie, or movie, one person has to get their head blown off just to prove a point.
Also, as this scene is going on, or as the scene continues, the office workers are making bets.
They're making
on
bets
them.
On who dies. <That's> they're terrible. trying to put logic to it. They're like, have they ever worked together before? And all that stuff. It's like crazy. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's terrible. Jacked up. They over there like all like on looking at it virtually and just kind of just in the comfort of the.
They're like, oh.
And then while that happens, we're just like, Team 2, did you make it to the beach? And we're like, yeah. And then there's Team 2 and you're like, what? And then 3 days earlier.
Oh, yeah. So introduce Bloodsport.
Bloodsport. He's just, you know, doing janitorial work, trying to serve his time. And I like her because she's just like, yeah, that's I forgot what this name was, but it's something Dubois. Renee? I want to say Renee because that sounds French.
No. He doesn't make it up.
It's a more manly name.
All right. What? But his last name is Robert Dubois.
I'm pretty sure it was Robert.
Yeah. And she was like, she basically was like, oh, yeah, he's in prison for putting Superman in the ICU with a kryptonite bullet. And I'm like to see that. I'd really like to see that. I'd like to see the Superman in the ICU.
Right, and then did they never say it's Clark Kent?
Nobody knows who he is. That's why it's the perfect cover. He's never at work. Only people who work with him know who he is.
Who?
Clark Kent.
Oh,
he's not like a well-known figure.
Like a well-known
why his disguise is so easy, because no one knows who he is. He's nobody. It's like the Flash. Like I always say, one of my favorite
Robert Dubois.
Of my favorite episodes of the Justice League show was when Lex Luthor switches bodies with the Flash. He's like, time to find out who you are. And he takes off the mask. He's like, I have no idea who this is. Like, yeah, why would you? Why do you think you know everybody? Like, what were you expecting?
It's like who, you know?
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's like, I don't, you don't know who that is. You don't know. You don't know who Barry Allen
what
is.
What surprise are you looking for?
Yeah, it's so weird.
No, this is not Bruce Wayne or somebody.
Yes, yeah, I'm saying it's not Bruce Wayne would be the one where you're like, holy shit.
Right.
Batman is Bruce Wayne. Like, that's crazy.
Right.
But it's like any, the creepy janitor.
Yeah, it's like I forgot your name, Charles something.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. That's funny when you think about it. I mean, how many people have a high profile real identity?
Yeah, that
to associate them with.
Yeah, it's even like Spider-Man. I think for him it's different because when he became Spider-Man, he was in school.
He was in high school.
So he knew a bunch of people.
Yeah.
So if anybody was like, holy shit, that's Peter Parker. I got class with this mom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's different where it's like Iron Man had no family.
Right.
This dude, so him being like, I'm going to be Tony Stark and Iron Man full time kind of deal was like a no-brainer. What was going to happen to him? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
But it's like, it's not the same for...
I mean, he did have a very... Because of his dad and the company, he had a very high profile thing. And that's why it was a big deal because of what it was, arms and, you know, all of that stuff. So that kind of.
But he's also Iron Man. So, you know, you gotta be careful. You can't just go at a dude. Like, if I knew a dude and I had beef with him, but then I found out he was Iron Man, I'm not going to just be like, hey, yeah, let's go get this motherfucker. No.
Yeah, no. That's true.
Shit. If I'd have known that, I wouldn't attack him in the first place.
Now I'm scared.
God damn. You're going to come back
for
me.
I got to watch my back.
So then we're like, she's like, oh, we need you to lead a team. And he's like, I don't want to lead your fucking team.
Well, she's like, you got a visitor.
Well, yeah. Well, because she does tell him that he's like, she's been trying to recruit him for a long time. And he was like, I don't want to be in your stupid team. I just want to serve my time and get the fuck out. And he was like, well, you got a visitor. And it's his daughter. And that shit is funny.
It was.
They spend like 20 minutes going, fuck you. No, fuck you. Fuck you.
He's talking about it, her getting.
She stole
something. He's like, I'm not even mad that you.
She was like, oh, stole. No. Because like,
but you got caught stealing a, what was it? A stupid watch.
Well, what was funny? What was funny? Because he was like, she was like, I got arrested because I stole. And he was like, how many times do I have to tell you? Make sure you have a partner who's a lookout. Like, he basically breaks down like how to do it correctly. And she was like, that's your fatherly advice? He was like, yeah, what did you steal? She was like, a TV watch. She's like, why the fuck would you want a TV watch? She's like, because I can watch TV on. I was like, yeah, what the fuck is that? It's useless as fuck. And then they start yelling at each other.
And she's like, that's not all it does.
It does other stuff too.
Yeah. That was funny.
And then basically... She basically says it like, oh, they brought me here because Miss Waller said maybe you could help me. And that's when he was like, you piece of shit. You leverage my daughter to get me to join your stupid fucking team. And she was like, at first he was like, hey, that's cool. She needs to toughen up a year and she's 14. And she was like, oh, actually, she's 16. He was like, father of the year. He's like, oh, how about that? But yeah, and then she was like, yeah, she'll do a year in juvie. She'll be fine. And he was like, actually,
in the state of Louisiana, is 16-year-old can be tried as an adult.
And like,
this is true?
Probably. In a lot of places, yeah, probably.
They're in Louisiana?
Yeah, especially if you're black.
It's amazing how those things
change. Try you as an adult quick. Ain't no black kids in juvie.
Yeah. So, at any rate.
So, anyway, so now he threatens her, basically puts a...
pin.
Oh yeah, it's a pin to her neck, and she's like, okay. Oh no! Everybody else gets all up in arms. She's like, everybody, calm down. She guns down, and so he finally agrees, right?
Yeah.
And
we meet the team, the rest of the team.
Yeah.
And he's like, this is such and such. His name's Peacemaker. He at a young age, he was trained by his father to be a ruthless killing machine. He was like. Yeah, it's a fucking joke. He does everything I do in this motherfucker. John Cena in this movie is great because he's like, but better.
It's kind of the perfect asshole.
It's just the perfect line. But better. But better.
He's the perfect asshole.
No, he is. Yes, he is. He's so good.
Absolutely.
He's so fucking good. And then we meet King Shark, into which they have the right reaction.
King Shark.
The fuck is that?
His name is also Nanawe. Right?
Nanawe, yeah.
Nanawe.
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 Which maybe means King Shark?
I don't know what it means. But
I like the way that sounds.
It's definitely Polynesian.
Yeah.
And he will be voiced by a wrestler by the name of Samoa Joe in the game coming out next year. Ah, so I think that'll be nice. Cool. Mm. I think we should start moving more in these directions of getting more people of color and stuff.
Oh, you said that the one who does the voice now is Sylvester Stallone.
In the movie, he's good. He's definitely good.
Yeah, I mean, I like
that. He was like, this is one of the best roles he's ever done.
It's like he does good when he's not writing scripts, first off, because then he always writes himself as this extra like
badass.
Hey, but
I'm just sorry. Why are you hating on his Rocky? He is Rocky.
Because Rocky, just by all accounts, is one of the worst boxers in cinema history. And he is constantly giving the chance to not be the worst boxer. Like, it's just bullshit. He writes sports science fiction because he puts himself in a role where he's better than black athletes. And that is bullshit. It's bullshit. Yeah. I hate movies like that where it'd be like, it's like Mighty Ducks. It's like Mighty Ducks where you're like, oh man, that Russian team, they're so bad because they're so good. I'm like, what? The fuck out of here. Like, they're not evil. They're just really good at hockey. Like, what do you want me to do? Want me to be mad at them for it? And we were. I was like, fuck that Russian team.
It worked. They weren't a Canadian?
Hmm?
No.
No, because in Mighty Ducks 2, they're representing the USA.
Oh,
USA.
Okay. I just assumed they had to face the Russian team. Hockey movie and...
Well, I mean, you think... It was like a Midwestern town.
You know, like a good majority of the states here have hockey teams.
I mean, no. I mean, I'm sure like, that, those Canadian people popular. Play. It ain't enough. I'm like, it's very popular in Canada.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. All they have is snow. What are they going to do? Play basketball? Yeah, okay.
Well, they do.
They have some Canadian basketball players.
Some. They have whole Canadian basketball team.
Majority of the Canadian basketball players are black. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we get there. We meet the team. We also meet Polka Dot Man. They make the joke that he throws polka dots. He's like, yeah, I do. The fuck you want? And then we meet Rat Catcher 2, whose real skill is sleeping. Like, almost every time we see her, she is knocked the fuck out.
Yeah, she don't just sleep. She goes deep. Man. Ugh.
So, yeah, we meet this team.
She reminds me of Maya. It's just like, ugh. Can't wake her up for shit. The kid is burning down the house.
Baby ass on her face. I've seen it with my own two eyeballs. She just knock out. Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they do this briefing. Pretty stupid. Nanawe starts asking dumbass questions. And so does Peacemaker. He goes,
yes.
Starfish. That's slang for butthole. Any correlation?
I just realized we did the scene for Harley Quinn with the javelin too early. Came after this because Javelin was in this group.
Not the Peacekeeper group, but no, he wasn't. He was in the first group.
No, because as soon as they go on the beach, that's when he dies and they take her.
Yeah, we did that. That's the first.
Harley Quinn wasn't in this briefing either.
No, yeah, I'm saying.
She wasn't?
No.
Okay.
There's two because this is 3 days earlier.
Oh, yeah.
So the point of notes?
Yeah.
I was a little out of order.
Do better.
I
couldn't concentrate. You know, you brag about your notes a lot.
Okay. But this time, JJ was a distraction. Thank you.
Yeah, whatever.
So anyways, now, where are we?
So then we get back. We get back to them on the beach and they're just talking about the mission. They're fine. They're not really doing anything. They're just kind of like shitting on each other, mostly Bloodsport and Peacekeeper.
Yeah.
And this is when Peacekeeper talks about how he's willing to keep peace by any means.
No, what did he say? He wants to save. How did he say it? To protect. You know.
He said, I'll protect peace at any cost. I don't care how many men, women, and children I need to do it. Fucking crazy. But he also says that if this beach was covered in dicks. And I had to eat each and every one of them to save liberty. I would do it in a heartbeat. And they were like, why would there be dicks on the beach? She was like, no, who knows what madmen do? And it's just so stupid. We also get, we see Polka Dot Man's face start like polka dotting.
Breaking out, basically.
And they're just like, you good? He's like, yeah, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm like, no, dude, you're not fine. You are not fine at all.
starts glowing and shit. Like,
what? And we also get, because then that's like they make camp and we see him go expel the dots.
Right.
And then we also see Nanawe try to fucking eat Ratcatcher.
First the rat's trying to talk to him. He's like,
yo, there is shit happening over there.
He's literally holding up in the air, right?
He's about to eat this girl.
And she's just asleep the whole time, just knocked out. That's Maya for sure.
Yeah, and Bloodsport starts firing at this dude, and he's just like, yo. And then she was like, oh, he wasn't going to eat me. And he was like,
She was like, he was kind eyes, and then she was like, oh, you were, motherfucker.
And she started bringing out all the rats, and this is when we find out Bloodsport has a rat phobia.
Yeah.
And then she's like, how come you never told me that? She's like, I'm an assassin.
I'm not gonna tell you my liability.
Right. What fucking stupid ass question is that? And then they start getting into it. He was like, just get rid of the fucking rats, please. God damn.
And then she said, I'm gonna try to talk to him. And she's like, you wouldn't eat your friends, would you?
He was like, I have no friends. They didn't even give Sylvester a script. He just went freelance on this one.
That's what it seemed like.
Just talking how he talks.
Shut up. And then she's like, well, let's just try this. I'll be your friend. And then they shake hands. I'm looking at her.
She's like,
did that hurt? I mean, I'm thinking about this literally, like his whole, whatever the hell that was, hand fin totally engulfs her whole little hand, and they're shaking hands. I just love.
They're shaking pretty hard.
Yeah,
I like how at first she was like, you wouldn't eat your friends if you had. And he's like, yes.
It was Bloodsport who was like, yes, and he looks at him. He's like, no.
Yeah, with the question mark. No.
I mean, is that not the thing we do?
How Peacemaker is like, he's lying.
He's like, apparently lying. That's frowned upon.
Yeah, it's funny. So yeah, we get to that, and let's see, where am I? Then they find out that Rick Flag. This is when Waller finds out that Rick Flag is still alive or whatever, mm-hmm. And they're like, all right, go rescue him.
They said, kill everyone. She said, kill everyone.
With extreme prejudice.
They're dangerous, and you got to kill everyone.
She said, with extreme prejudice.
And that is exactly what they do.
Did they ever.
So they come in. I like this. I called it the killing competition in my phone. So,
Bloodsport and Peacemaker just trying to literally out-kill each other.
Though, oh, my gosh. Like, first off, where did Peacemaker get that axe?
He just picked it up. He should
show. Oh, yeah, okay. I was gonna say, because he picks up this axe, he guts a dude from the bottom. He goes his dude. One dude is like getting a massage, and he just fucks that motherfucker up.
Yeah, they're like really like walking through and just doing damage. Yeah, hardcore.
Ridiculous.
And like really like nastily killing all of these people.
Oh, my God.
And you're like, okay, they're bad guys, whatever.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. They deserve to die.
Until they finally get up to where Flag is, and they walk in there, and he's like drinking tea and sitting with the chick.
Like, what are you doing here? He was like, we came to fucking rescue you. He was like, hey, this is what's her face from the Rebel Alliance, you know? And he was like, oh, okay, cool. She was like, why did my man not alert me that you got here? They're like, what? There was nobody here. I didn't see anybody at all. And then fucking Polka Dot Man talking about, I pretended they were my mom and I killed them.
and then Nanawe spits up a finger. Yeah.
And it's weird because it's weirder though, because this scene is funny for a lot of reasons. One, this scene should be a lot more
alarming,
sad and alarming. But she goes out there, she's just kind of like irritated.
Yeah.
Like,
no, she had a death stare like in her face.
She was like typical American, just coming shooting shit up.
She looked kind of horrified when she was outside and she's looking around. She's like,
yeah, she's like, damn. Oh, you know, it's one thing to describe it and then to walk out and see it like, oh shit.
Especially what day, because like not only did you just see a bunch of dead people, you saw, man, some dude blown up. That lady doing the laundry got fucked up.
But
some dude got
comrades.
Eaten by rats.
All of her comrades, this whole little campsite.
And yeah, then
brutally
like,
murdered.
And then Flag's trying to smooth it over. He's like, look, these guys, they're idiots. Because you see fucking Peacemaker and fucking Bloodsport playing slap hands and shit. He's like, they're idiots.
We still want to work
but
with you.
But we are on your side. And they were like, fine, I guess. And then this, I think, is where we see what happens to Harley, I believe. Wait, no, not yet. Oh, they. This is when. Oh, Thinker. That was a. That was a washer.
Oh,
our dryer. One of them. And think this is when we see when we meet the Thinker, and he's having a meeting with the general and whatever, and they're basically talking about Project Starfish, which is how he tells them, oh, they found this starfish. These dumbass Americans brought it on board, and then they just let it do whatever the fuck it wanted to do, and it just started capturing people, and they were like, oh, that's cool, yeah, what are we going to do with this? Yeah, yeah. And that's it. Yeah. They keep it at Jotunheim.
Jotunheim.
Jotunheim, which is Jotunheim. Jotunheim is Norse, and I think it is where the frost giants live.
Mm.
Yeah, you learned something today.
Jotunheim. I don't know where Jotunheim is.
Because it doesn't exist.
Okay.
It's not a real place.
All right. It sounded so real.
It's one of the nine realms.
Okay. That's dope. That's
so dope. It's like Asgard, Niflheim, Jotunheim.
Oh, okay.
There's some other ones, but they're not really important.
Nice.
I think we're Niflheim. Earth. Not sure. This is where we find we get Hardly, and she's been captured. She's in a ditch somewhere, and they go get her, make her put on this dumbass red dress. She was dirty as fuck. I don't know how they cleaned her up.
And all
so
of a sudden
well.
In the car she's all extra clean. Yeah. And stuff.
She's like, oh shit, I'm a princess.
She did. She basically said it like that.
And then they basically she meets this dude who was like, oh, I'm sorry you saw me in my bikini. it was like you set this up, dude. This is exactly how you wanted her to see you.
He walked out with his muscles all
your
shining.
Little chiseled muscles. We get it, dude. Dripped. Like, yeah, fuck out of here.
Trying to show off.
Yeah, so she's like, he's trying to explain to her that his people want her to get married, want him to get married, and they think that she would be the perfect wife. I'm like, where did that poll? I want to see when you took that. Like, hey. You want a president to get married. Who would be the perfect wife? Oh, Harley Quinn from America. Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, that's so fucking...
It's her American image, you know?
It was weird, though, because it's just like, I feel like there has to be a singer or an actress in their country
just want an American. I think that was the point he was saying.
Well, he was like, because...
She's blind.
Well, they said because she is like... She has like... To them, she represents like anti-America, but she's just a villain. Like, yeah. She never sees it that way because most villains aren't like, I'm not anti-America. This is actually the best place to be a villain. What are you talking about? Like, it's America's the great. I can do this shit, get arrested, and then come here and kill people for fun. Like,
yeah.
And yeah. She kind of, you see, like, when he said that, she kind of, like, got sad. Like, is that how they look at me?
Yeah.
Like, she was really upset. Like, oh, I'm not anti-American.
Take that back.
You take it back now. And then, yeah, they do dirty stuff.
Yeah, they have a little love scene, and then so he talks about a plan about the starfish.
Yeah, he was like, he does like tell like when, you know, people got out of order, they would take them there, they would never be seen from again, blah, blah, blah. He was like, and now that I have it, I'm going to fuck some shit up. Oh, yeah, it's going to be crazy.
That's a villainy.
And he was like, yeah, I'll kill. He was like, I don't care who it is. If anybody gets in my way, whether it's men, women, or children. And that was the one that set her off when she was like, all right. And then she shoots that motherfucker.
Yeah, she shot it. She's like, I told myself if I see red flags.
She was like, and harming children, that's as red as a flag gets, buddy. Which, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's the thing I think about Harley Quinn, why I think she's so enduring is because she is mostly a sympathetic figure. You know, she's her entire origin is tied to the Joker, which is a very sad and story about manipulation and shit like that. And then you see that kinda in the first Suicide Squad, but it still shows that like they're together. But in Birds of Prey is when you see like the split completely, and you see her just do her own thing and stuff like that. So you got to see her basically trying to overcome that. And then we get here and she's like, I've seen this before.
You gotta shut this down real quick.
He's bleeding out like a motherfucker. It is gross.
And she's just like, look, you're a beautiful person. You're more beautiful dead and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think you're pretty like this with all those nasty thoughts oozing out of your head. And I was like, all right.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
She's like, I can't believe this thing was loaded.
I was thinking the same thing. Like, he had all those antique guns. I was like, did you just keep bullets in them? That's probably not safe.
Yeah.
In case, you know, somebody wanted to kill you.
So they come in, the government, and they grab her up and lock her up. And then what happens?
Well,
so
then now we get back to them.
To the crew.
And then we kind of learn about Polka Dot Man's virus. Because he's like, he's basically, they're like, because his face is starting to get gross.
Yeah.
And he does the thing, and they're like, yo.
Hey, before, I like how Peacemaker was like, hey, you Norman, contagious?
He said Norman, called him Norman Bates. He said, you contagious? He was like, no, I'm fine. He was like, whoa, no, sir. You got some explaining to do. What the fuck is going on? And he does. He's like, yo, my mom, she was obsessed with trying to make me and my brothers and sisters superheroes. So she experimented on us, and then this is how I got there. Like, what happened to everybody? Well, some of them survived. Some of them died. And honestly, he acts the hell out of this because you could see kind of like what he was like. Some of them lived, and then some of them died. He was just, you could see like the hurt. Like, yeah. He was just like, because they did, because it's like he feels like they didn't have to.
Yeah.
And I think that's like, I think that's where like the balance is really good, where it's like this goofy ass character who shoots polka dots, but he's got such
some real shit,
a tragic
on.
Shit going on.
Yeah. So I have to expel this stuff 2 times a day or it'll consume me.
Yeah. He was like, well, what happened to your mom? He's like, where is she? Everywhere. And it's like, he looks back and they're all like versions of his mom.
So he's walking around.
The momest with mom
everybody
looking,
like his mother.
Yeah, she is the momest looking lady of all time. Ed is funny as shit, man. Oh my God. Seeing his mom. Yeah. So this is when they have to plan to get into the city, and they kill a bunch of people. And then they're like, we got disguises for all of you. And King Shark's like, I'm gonna wear a disguise. He's like, oh yeah, what are you gonna do?
Mustache.
Big mustache.
Big mustache.
He's like, fuck out of here. And then he does.
Put his finger up.
He was like, nope, I can still tell it to you. It's the worst fake mustache I've ever seen. Because he told him he does. He said, because he was like, even if it wasn't, if we got fooled by a shark and a mustache, we'd have to kill you. He was mad as fuck. He does. That fuck was funny. Fuck.
He was really disappointed. He was very disappointed.
He wanted to go to the party.
Yeah, so then we get this, and then we get more into a little more backstory, because Ratcatcher wants to know why Bloodsport is afraid of rats. And he was like, he basically tells him, like, whenever I fucked up, my old man would like literally trap me in a box with a rat. And it was terrifying because hungry rat. Yeah, because rats literally chew through anything. And yeah, so that's terrifying. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Not to mention rats.
Yeah. And then if you look in like in that scene too, when he's telling that, you could see Peacemaker in the back kind of like, yeah, I get that. Because he's essentially going through the same shit with his dad, which when you watch the show, like, it makes way more sense and stuff. Like, you can see that his backstory is equally as tragic, even though he's not talking about it. He is definitely relating to everything that Bloodsport is saying, because he's just like, been there, buddy. Been there, buddy.
I haven't seen Peacemaker yet.
Oh, man, I'm about to rewatch it because I thought it was great. I'm watching it. Yeah, it's good shit. And then that's when we get Ratcatcher's backstory, and it is pretty goddamn tragic, man. Like, shit. If this wasn't like a comic book movie, you'd be like,
yeah,
this is the saddest thing I've ever seen in my life.
She pretty much just says, you know, he was a addict, and
who?
Her dad.
Her dad, and they were living on the streets together, and rats. He would teach her how to, you know,
he created that device.
Control the rat. Yeah, he created the device, and he could teach her how to control the rats, and the rats would keep him warm at night.
They would steal stuff.
Yeah. So, dang.
Ratatouille on steroids.
Her dad was played by Watakikiki.
Watakikiki Tahakituko. I don't know how to say this as long as his name.
Wakatiti.
He is responsible for, he did Thor Ragnarok and Love and Thunder.
Oh,
right?
He's in those?
Okay, his name is Taika
Waititi. Yeah, him. Yeah.
What was he in?
Well, no, he directed him.
Oh, really?
And he's in him too. He plays Korg, the rock dude.
Shut up.
Oh,
yeah,
get out of here.
He does the voice of Korg. Listen, when you hear him talk later, it makes you can hear it better. But yeah, he does.
Oh,
he plays he plays him, yeah.
Oh. Wow.
Interesting.
Interesting indeed.
Indeed.
Interesting.
The more you know.
After that, she tells her story. They get to the club and they sit down and have a few drinks.
The rat gets a drink.
Wow.
And they have a good time.
And it's like, well, they mentioned something about Bloodsport and Rick Flag having known each other from their military days. And you can see that in this scene because they're like, they're together just having the time of their life, like chuckling up, reminiscing about old days and stuff like that. So you see that he's like his legitimate friend instead of just like a guy he knows.
Right, right.
And that's damn good stuff right there.
Yeah. I liked it. It felt real, you know, it felt real interaction. They're having a good time. And they're dancing even. And then
Polka Dot Man dances with a bunch of people who look like his mama.
Let's not forget, I just to mention again, because you know, sometimes when we're watching things, we're talking while we're watching things, which we shouldn't technically. We should try to save more, but some it's just kind of hard in the moment. But I was talking about how Idris Elba do, you know, like just talking the way he talks.
Yeah, it's better with his accent.
Which was really good in this voice. Particular. He does. I mean, I like him when he does, you know, when he does, you know, a regular brother.
Because he's
cool. He is. He's just cool. He's just he really is.
Fucking cool for no reason. although.
What?
This man's music.
Oh,
is a huge blind spot in that coolness.
No. That's cool.
This man has some trash shit that he be doing.
They love it.
Yeah, I'm sure. But it's
if you listen to more of their bass music,
it's a bad. It definitely brings him from like a 100% cool to like a 99.9% cool.
And over there, I haven't listened to it.
Is it
cool.
What is it? Kind of like house
it's
music,
dance, like house EDM ish music.
Oh, okay. Because they love, you know what? Because that's the thing. Like they stole our house music because they love it over there, big time.
Europe, they love it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, everybody loves what we do.
Yeah. Anyway, but I just wanted to say that I love him when I do hear him do his own. You know, it's not even an accent. That's just how he talks, and it's like, ooh. If you weren't sexy before. But anyway.
He's a handsome man. So now, Bloodsport, he sees the thinker. And the club gets
hard
raided.
To miss this guy. He's got fucking tubes right out the top of his fucking head.
I know.
They'd be like, what does this guy look like? Oh, that's probably him.
Yeah, couldn't miss him.
I'm going to put money that's the thinker right there.
And at the same time, he's, you know, talking to the thinker, telling him, hey, let's go out back. You know, the government busts into this club looking for the Americans and stuff. And that's when he tells them to go run in the back with the thinker.
He tells Ratcatcher and Polka Dots.
Yeah. And so now you just got, you know, all three of them, Bloodsport, Flag, Peacemaker, and Flag. And they surrender, basically.
In the most American way possible.
He's like, yo, here we are. Hey. It's us, the Americans that you're looking for.
I'd have been like, you're clearly British.
The American.
But then when Flag talks, like, yep, here we are. I was like, oh, that guy's
my American friend.
That guy's definitely American.
Yeah. And so now they go. They take care of the cops in this truck that's taking them to get locked up. They, what do they do? How did he get
Well, out? Before they get there, there is this very weird scene where she's like, Thinker's talking all that shit to them because he figures out that they're clearly not the ones in charge. And she was like, hey, if you keep talking, I'm going to put a rat up your ass. And he was you don't know the kind of shit I'm into. And I was like, dude.
Yeah, like she said something like, how would you like that? The answer might surprise you. Like, that's what he said.
I was like, all right. That's gross, dude. Get the fuck out of my face. And they do that. And then he was like, yeah, there's a shark in this truck. So calm the fuck down before you like get crazy with us. There's a shark in the truck.
Yes.
Yeah.
King shark.
Yes.
Nanawe.
Yeah. No. And so how do they get out when they're...
Talking
to the dude.
They give him a cigarette.
Yeah, he's...
That's nice. At least they give him a cigarette.
Well, you know, it's customary before execution.
Yeah, pretty much. It doesn't matter. Like, you're going to die anyway.
Like, here, go ahead, relax. It's cool.
And, they do something because they already had...
Well, they're talking about knocking a guy out in one punch or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I think I could do that. And then they knock these dudes out in one punch.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then
shoot the guy who's driving.
Yeah. And Peacemaker, he grabs this dude through the hole that he shot through, and he's like knocking this dude up and just hitting him against the roof of his car till he drops, and then they hit a truck.
Yeah.
And they flip over.
Flipping
over.
And then they come out looking all cool and stuff, like they didn't just flip 20 times in a truck and shit.
Yeah.
Pretty cool stuff. I wish I could do that.
Pretty cool. And so in the meantime, Harley Quinn's being tortured, and she's hung up by a chain.
Wait.
No, that is around, because they're just like, because when they get out of it, he's like.
Did we talk about when she killed the dude?
Yeah, we did. You were doing something.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But because they're like, he was like, all right, time for Operation Jotunheim. And then Flag is like, not yet. Because that's because one of the dudes in the truck lets it loose that Harley's still alive. Mm-hmm. So he's like, no, we got to do something else. And then it's like Operation Harley in the smoke, which is pretty cool. I thought it was dope.
And yeah, I do like their transition.
Yeah,
and they try to explain. You
it
know,
gives it a comic book feel when they do, like, they'll have like where they are, but it'll be part of the environment, kind of like that's really cool. I like that.
Yeah, that's nice.
I'll give them that.
She's being tortured. She's being repeatedly tased, and it looks like it's on high. And she's just singing every time she gets tased, and they're asking her questions. She just starts singing songs, and they're like, "How many troops did you bring?
Oh, how many meta powered?" That's what she asked him. He was like, "How many super powered people did you bring with you?" And she was like, 69. And he was like, 69? What the fuck? That's a lot of. He's like, "How did you even get 69 people here?" And the dude was like, he had to whisper in his ears, like, "No, it's actually this is what." He was like. Fuck. Like, I'm sorry. If I have to be explaining the joke like that, now I have to just kill her on principle.
You made me look ridiculous.
Then I got to kill this guy for explaining it to me. No one leaves this room knowing that I didn't know what that was.
I know. You had to whisper to him. That's
actually, dude, she's fucking with you. It's a dirty joke. You just let it go.
Yeah. So she's getting tortured, and then that's when he's like, all right,
let me know when she wakes up.
Oh, yeah. So he walks out, and the guard is still there, and she uses her leg strength to choke the crap out of him.
There's definitely worse ways to die.
That's terrible. Full of calf in your neck.
Well, sure.
I'll take Harley's calf. So yeah, I'm down with that. It's okay.
Terrible. Sure.
There's worse ways.
She chokes him and then breaks his neck. She drops him, and then she, with her toes, grabs the keys from him and does some contortionist stuff.
There's a lot of feet in this scene, and it made me uncomfortable. I don't like feet.
That's weird.
I don't like feet. It's so gross.
Feet
are gross. That's why I always wear socks, because I don't like my feet. Look at these things. They're gross. Yeah. You're gross, feet. But yeah, she gets out of here, and I like this scene because no laughs from Harley. She walks out, gets that serious face on, and she proceeds to fuck shit up. Yeah.
And then it's so beautiful because it's got all the little flowers.
Yeah,
and
the flowers. When once she gets those two M16s, she starts blasting. You just see the flowers coming from behind her. It's a really cool scene.
I like that.
She is murking these people. And then she finds the javelin.
This scene never looked so beautiful.
Yes, that is true. She gets that javelin and lets loose.
Yeah.
It's such a great scene. It's I love crazy. This scene.
But, good stuff here. I love how she, when she walks out of the door, when she finally gets out, she sees, it's so funny.
She just hails a cab.
First she hails a cab.
Oh, yeah.
And then she got that long javelin. And like, the cab driver doesn't, and then he did kind of look.
He was like,
put it through
he's like, fuck it, I'm gonna ignore it. I need the money.
He's like, a job's a job.
And then she sees, did she see it through the mirror? Or she just happened to see him.
She was going by.
She was going by
and she just saw him. So she gets out the cab and they're getting ready to go rescue.
Bloodsport got a wife beater on.
Yeah, he still got his disguise pants and stuff on. He's scaling the building. Peacemaker is about to blow away a cleaning lady, mind you. He was like, I've got eyes on the only one in the office. And it's just some lady cleaning. And I'm like, you got to stop trusting this guy. He did say he would kill anybody.
Yeah. You see Bloodsport start to climb up the wall and mid-climb. She's like, what you guys doing?
He was like, and then Flag Lee does that double take, like, we were gonna rescue you. She was like, you guys were coming to rescue me. Like, I could go back in. We could do it again.
Oh, that's so sweet.
He was like, yeah, we had a really good plan and everything.
That's messed up. They didn't get to employ their really good plan.
I love that scene. That is crazy. So
I do, because he's like, he meets Bloodsport and he's like, what's with the javelin? She was like, I'm just waiting for God to tell me. And he was like, fuck, man, this shit just keeps getting worse and worse by the second. I thought I was done meeting crazies, and here we are meeting another crazy. Yeah, yeah. So then they work out that they're fucking with Thinker. They're basically telling him, like, hey, you're gonna get us into Jotunheim. No ifs, ands, or buts, or we'll kill you. Those are your options, buddy.
That's it. And then they go.
But this is like, okay, because it's hard to say it without any, like, I'll say it then when we get to it, I don't want to spoil the whatevers, but there are like telltale signs of something coming up, and you can see it.
Yeah. Okay.
But what do you mean? I'll tell you when we get there, because I don't want to. Yes. I don't want to say it, because then it's like, oh, obvious now.
Yeah. Oh.
So okay. Then so they get there. It's raining.
But of course.
And then Harley Quinn's like, I like rain. It's like little angels are splooging all over us.
she said smooching.
No, she said splooging.
She said smooching.
No, she said splooging. I'm
pretty sure she said splooging.
She does. Subtitles confirmed it.
I don't believe that.
She did. She said splooging.
She said splooging.
And then that's when Bloodsport was like, it's good for cover. Yep, good for cover. That's it. Nothing else. You crazy clown lady.
Yeah.
I do. She has a tattoo that says property of Joker on it, and I always thought that was pretty fucked up.
Yeah, she's got to get that tattoo removed.
She's got to get that tattoo removed big time.
Covered something. Yeah. So when they go into the place, that's when they see those people, right?
They start killing.
Those people who have been.
Well, not yet, because they get in first and they're shooting everybody up.
Oh, yeah.
Doing some pretty cool stuff. Milton is there.
Oh, yeah.
Just chilling for some reason. I don't know why he's there, but he is there.
He is.
And they get in. They start planting the bombs and stuff. And then this is, I really like how they did this, how they split this scene up into two instead of doing back and forth.
Right.
So what we do is we get pretty much, it's weird. So we get the scene of, whose team is it? Flag's team.
Mm-hmm.
And Thinker, and this is when they meet Starro. This is when they see all the fucking zombie Starro dudes, and it's pretty gross shit, man. And he's just like super happy. He's like, yeah, man, we tortured all kinds of people here. And then you hear like Starro talking through the people, and he was like, yo, help me, because this motherfucker has been torturing me. He's been like fucking with me. He's had his way with me. And he just like chuckles. He's like, yeah, what are you going to do? And I was like,
wow.
Ew, gross. How? And then he was like, and then that's when Rick Flagg was
like, how?
And then that's when Rick Flagg is kind of like, yo, the fuck? We got to do something about this. He's like, I'm tired. He's like, I enlisted to save people. I don't want to fucking be a privy to this anymore and all this other shit. So he gets the hard drive. And then that's when we find out we have a turncoat in our midst.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Peacemaker.
He's holding a gun to his head.
And even like, through this, though, because I what I like about this is he's supposed to be portrayed as like a just absolute like bad guy in this situation. But he's conflicted the whole time.
Yeah.
When he's telling him, like, you're a hero and I respect you and I don't want to do this, but I have a job to do.
Yeah.
And it's like,
I do like that they didn't just depict him. Nah, fuck you.
It wasn't. It wasn't as black and white.
Sir, I'm not gonna let you do that.
But what I was saying, so this is right here, right? There's a scene when they're on the roof interrogating Thinker. When they're talking about splitting into teams, Peacemaker immediately was like, "Well, I'm gonna go with Flag." And that's when Bloodsport was like, "No, we need you with me because you're a demolitions expert and we can handle this shit." And you could just see it. He was like, he's trying to get with them, and even when they're planting the bombs. When he sees Flag's teams go off, that's when he disappears.
Yeah. Right.
And that's when King Shark is like by himself, but he goes. That's what he's doing. He's like I said, you can start to see the little things right there.
Yeah.
And I thought that was in like it's like if you didn't know, it's like, oh that man, when you see sense. It back, it's like, he that was his mission this whole time. His mission is different.
To make sure that they don't get things out in the media.
Like they still have the same mission, but his mission is different than
yeah.
He's got his own thing going.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's crazy. So then then the building starts coming down. And then we get to see what Bloodsport's team has been up to.
Right.
And
They've been.
Oh yeah, and this is the part with Milton when they run in there, and then the
explosives. At this point, okay, so the explosives go off early. This is when he's like, "I gotta stop you," or whatever, and they're having a little tiff.
Wait, time out. I fucked up.
Yeah,
we still get more of the explosions in Flag and Peacekeeper first. Because we see their whole fight.
That's what I'm saying. So when he's got the gun to his head, that's when the explosions go off, and the thinker's like, "Hey, the explosions went off too early. Those idiots, you know." And what happens? The starfish escapes.
Because we see it through first. Peacemaker wakes up. Yeah, the starfish, it doesn't escape right away, but it's in there.
Yeah.
And it grabs this motherfucker, and he's like, "Oh, God, no, hey, I'm sorry. I learned my ways."
I get it now.
Got ripped in half.
Nah, you just get your shit ripped in half. Gosh, and then, Peacekeeper and Flag fight.
Crazy fight, and unfortunately, Peacekeeper is
you could kind of see that he...
It's conflicted.
And even in that, when that happened, he
feels like he has a duty. Like, he did what he has to do.
Yeah. And like I said, like, if you ever get around, the show really, like, talks about why he feels that way and why he is the way he is a lot. And it gets more in depth, because a lot of, like, the show progression is him coming to terms with stuff that he's done. Mm-hmm. Like, it's immediately him, like, really beating himself up for what happened to Flag. And stuff like that, because he knows that it was his fault and he didn't want to do it, but he felt that he had. And it's a lot. Like, the show is really good. Like, you get a chance. I'm about to start rewatching it again.
What was that on? HBO
Max? HBO Max.
Yeah, okay. I want to watch that now. But
we got too many shows.
So after that, you see behind him, he didn't realize it, but Ratcatcher was right there.
Cleo.
And she sees the, he says, "Cleo, don't." And she grabs the tape. She's all slow about it. She's like,
"I know." I was like,
because it's funny, because it's one of those, "How long have you been there?" moments.
I called it a tape. It's not a tape. It's a hard drive. Sorry. She took the hard drive and she decides to run off, but he catches up to her. And he, you know, at this point, this is the end of the scene. He's got the gun to her. Basically, and that's when you see it goes 8 minutes earlier,
mm-hmm. and goes back to Bloodsport and that team.
Yeah. They walk into one of the offices of the building or whatever, and
that's when
these militants, they start shooting, and they shot Milton.
Polka Dot Man kills him, and he's like, "They got Milton."
They got Milton.
And then Bloodsport's face, he's like,
Milton was with us?
Milton was with us?
Still with us?
Said, "Who's..."
He knew who he was.
He's like,
Carly
he's still with us? And he's like, "Yeah." But he's like, "I thought we left him back in the... I thought he was still in the car or whatever." He's been with us the whole time.
I love it, because then Harley's like, "Who's Milton?"
Right.
And he was really torn up about this. He was like, "Milton, he was a really nice guy, man. He's been with us the whole time, and now he's dead." He was like, I don't remember any Milton.
You know what's crazy? I can imagine he would be the closest to the guy.
He was like, "I don't remember a Milton." And I'm like, "I would remember that."
That's not a common name. Yeah, I would remember that.
It's stupid funny. He's just pissed about it. And then some more guards come through. He shoots the polka dots, but some of them hit the bombs, and that's when shit goes crazy.
They start going off one by one.
But also, King Shark meets new dumb friends.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
New dumb friends.
They're like weird color fish for some reason.
They look like cuttlefish.
It makes sense that they're in that place, because maybe they were experiments as well.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
Because then when the thing when shit starts going crazy and shit starts blowing up, he goes through with his new dumb friends, and then they're cool.
And then they come out like, with those barracuda teeth.
No, them shits were like teeth, and they start spinning it and shit. Yeah. Yeesh. And then they start attacking him.
I love how betrayed he felt. He's like, "No."
Yeah, he was very betrayed. So they're doing that. The water's coming down. Everything's going to shit. King Shark falls out from that height.
Yeah.
And he just
the structure breaks in half.
You see just one single tear fall out of his eyes.
I kind of feel bad.
And then you think that's it, and he's dead. And then
these idiots start shooting at him.
Yeah. Well, they saw him flinch, and they just went to shoot, because they're looking at him like, "What the hell is this?"
He gets
up,
he's like,
and then he goes full shark on these motherfuckers.
Yeah, he ate a guy.
He ate a guy. Definitely ate a guy.
Definitely.
And then now you see they're still in the building, and the floor breaks underneath Bloodsport, and he just falls floor to floor.
And my knees hurt looking at that.
Just no, like my shins hurt. Like my
so he had to brace every time and hit another floor going down.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, when he hits that bottom floor.
It's like, how do you brace brace for that? You know what I mean? Because you like, if you brace too hard,
yeah.
Then
yeah.
It's like, but then if you're too loose, I don't even know.
Yikes. Yeah, I don't know.
It's like if you jump from like.
Or you have to really like jump. You know what I mean? Like,
like elevator style. I got to go up a little bit. Yeah, all right. That's crazy. But yeah, so when he gets to the bottom, he sees Peacekeeper, who's got a gun to Cleo.
Yeah.
And we've established at some point that Cleo and Bloodsport have this weird, like, father-daughter relationship and stuff like that. So even though he won't say it out loud, he kind of feels for her, and he's going to protect her. And then they shoot at the same time. Draw! Pew! And then Bloodsport's bullet goes through Peacekeeper's bullet, and it kills him. And he's like, how? He was like, smaller bullets, asshole.
Yeah. And, so, yeah, kills Peacekeeper, and then you see Starro. He's breaking free from under the ground, basically, which is scary as hell.
Yeah.
And everybody just standing there. I would have been gone. Heck. You would have seen me.
He starts letting the little baby Starros loose, and they start attaching to people's faces like face huggers.
Ugh.
Oh, that is scary. Fears.
That is pretty scary. I got a fear of that, too. Like, when on SpongeBob, the movie, and they put the buckets down on their hats, that kind of freaked me out.
What?
Oh, yeah, because they were, like, mind control with the bag.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't want a face hugger on me.
Yeah, that didn't seem comfortable.
I would rather have the bucket hat.
So, yeah, it blurs those little clones and stuff like that, start attaching to people.
They get zombified.
And then they attack the city, and,
they're basically like, because they have this hard drive and everything like that. Amanda Waller's like, hey, it's time to leave. The mission is done. We've done what we came here to do, I guess. And they're all ready to go. But then they were just like, Bloodsport's just like.
Oh, yeah, because those zombie, whatever people about to destroy the whole place.
Kill all those children,
and
too.
He goes, and then she just the screaming, Bloodsport, you turn your fucking ass back around. Yeah. And then Ratcatcher comes right behind him. And then Nanawe, not to be left out of fun, just decides, hey, I'm coming too.
Yeah.
And then she's about to start blowing. She's ready to blow heads. And then that girl, the black lady, smacks her upside the head with a golf club. And he's like, what the fuck did you do? And he's like, well, it needed to be done. We need to help them help them.
And yep, they start helping them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
two of those people in that room are in Peacekeeper, though.
Are they? Oh. Yeah. The blonde chick.
The blonde chick and the bigger dude.
And the big, okay. Yeah.
They're being punished is what it is.
They're being punished?
That's what they say. Oh. They get the detail that they get because they're being punished for what happened in this movie.
Okay, so he dies. So he didn't die.
No, he didn't die.
Okay.
No. Obviously because of the show called Peacekeeper.
Yeah. Okay.
Gotcha. Just has trachea damage.
He got fucked up, but you know.
Trachea damage.
They say he was in like a coma for like 6 months or something like that. And then, yeah. So.
Ah. Okay. There you go.
Okay. Interesting.
All right. So now we get Suicide Squad versus Starro the Conqueror.
And Bloodsport breaks out that really cool weapon.
Big ass tri-gun. It's like
just piece. Bigger and bigger. And bigger and bigger, and then it's this huge gun with a spinny thing at the end, and he's shooting this. Right at Starro, and Starro feels it, getting really annoyed, starts sicking the people on them.
Oh, yeah, and, the controlled people.
And then that's when you get Polka Dot Man. He finally has his super cool moment.
Yeah, he said, that's your mom.
Because he gives everybody assignments, because... leader and all stuff. He was like, Harley, go high.
Go high.
Nanawe, them's his num-nums. And he was like, num-nums? Yeah, fucking num-nums. Yeah. Num-num cookie.
And then, Polka Dot Man, he releases polka dots on the leg of this Starro. And it's kind of breaking some of his leg down. He gets really annoyed, and Polka Dot Man, he's like, woo, yeah.
I'm a superhero. Boom. And then he gets smashed.
Yeah. Man. That was pretty sad. I got attached to Polka Dot Man.
I did too, man. I fell for the guy.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Polka Dot Man. Oh. Come on.
Sorry.
That's her rare dark humor.
I know, right? The one time. Let that go. Jeez.
And so now we got Cleo or Ratcatcher.
Well, because what happens is during all this, like,
oh yeah,
the zombified dudes are basically, they're just kind of like overwhelming Bloodsport.
Yeah.
And he's got no weapons left, but he sees Cleo. She's trying to do something with the rats, but Star was about to smack the shit out of her. Yeah. So he saves her, and then more of them come to surround him.
Right.
And they're like, this is our city.
And she's like, fuck it's you. It's not your city. It's their city. And that's when she turns on the...
Yeah, and you see another really, thing, you know? Really cute flashback. Why the rats, Papa? He was like, because even if they can be loved, if they can have a purpose, then so do we all.
Yeah, and then here they come.
His purpose was heroin overdose.
And you can see Bloodsport bracing himself. Yeah, like,
she covers his face, too, because she knows, like, she's like, he's terrified. I got him.
And he's like, nope, no, I'm not going
to
get up.
And those rats get to come in and... Yeah, and they're climbing all over his thing. And even Star's like, oh, shit, rats.
And, those are his little bugs.
And then Harley is like, finally figured out what this javelin is for. And she just dives right through this eyeball.
Ew.
And gets an opening going.
Yeah, and then so some that rats follow
some
her
rats
in.
Can go in and just eat this thing from the inside out.
And then they started tearing it apart. Yeah. His eyes started getting all red and bloody and stuff. Yeah. She's just waiting in the liquid of... The eye.
Ew.
And she thinks it's beautiful. You got the rats coming around her.
And she's also crazy.
She is.
But yeah, I mean, and then he, right before, I guess, the dying breath of Starro, he's like, I was happy just floating in space, motherfuckers. And they fucked up. This is you guys' fault, not mine.
Yeah. So honestly, he's a victim. Starro.
He is a victim. He was. Not a victim. Once you decide to start doing fuck shit, you're not a victim anymore, buddy.
Yeah. Once you're aggressing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were a victim. You could have just left. We could have figured it out. We could have worked together to get you home or whatever.
Right, right. Yeah.
But you wanted to fuck some shit up.
Retaliate against the people who didn't do what has happened to you.
Yeah. Fair.
Terrible.
Yeah, and you know, they saved the day. And he basically makes a deal with Amanda Waller that they all get to go free and this hard drive never sees the light of day.
And then she's like, see, I told you I would make you a leader.
I'm like, get the fuck out of here. You over here trying to take credit.
Like, you were about to blow their heads off.
Right?
Okay?
You didn't do shit. I made myself a leader. Had something to fight for. And then you see Harley, she's visibly sad, and he was like, we can't win them all. We have to be able to take the victories where we can. She was like, Rick was a flag, was a friend of mine. He was like, yeah, he was mine too. And I haven't got many of those. She was like, I could be your friend, Milton. He was like, not my name. He was like, wait,
she's
what?
Like, yes, it is.
We just had like a whole 3-hour conversation about how your name is Milton. He's like, no, we didn't.
Not me. And then you see stuff is on the news, of course. Helicopters got, you know, camera footage and stuff.
Showing them. And then his daughter sees it.
And she's that's my dad. It's my daddy.
It's my dad. My daddy's a hero.
Yeah. That was cool.
And then he pets the mouse or the rat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's like.
All right. I guess this isn't so bad. It's not so bad. It's cool, I guess.
And then you go back to the island. And then the weasel
wakes up,
laying there, and he's like coughing up water.
These people have been through enough. They don't need to deal with this goddamn weasel, too. Somebody kill that thing.
And he's like, he gets up and then runs to who knows where.
Wherever.
He just looks weird. Like, I don't know what's going on.
Just disgusting.
And then you guys walked out, but there is a scene at the end where they show Peacemaker in the hospital.
So they had a little end credit scene like Marvel does?
Yeah. I mean, they're not the first to do it. Other movies,
not a lot of movies.
They're not. Yeah. Well, I mean, they are since they've been doing them. Man of Steel, pretty much.
Oh, really?
I think Dark Knight had one. Dark Knight Rises definitely had one.
Yeah.
I think one of them had a
Batman versus Superman definitely had that shit. Justice League definitely had that shit.
Oh, yeah.
But all of that Wonder still Woman is post had, when they started doing it.
To a degree.
Yeah. Because they started doing it after the first Avengers movie, right?
No, they did it before that.
Did they? Okay.
Well, because X-Men started it first.
They did?
Yeah. Well, I don't... X1 did not. X2 did not. But X3 has the scene where Magneto's playing chess in the park because he's just an old man with no powers.
Oh, yeah, and then he's just
kind of like, well, let's see if I can move that.
Oh, yeah.
I would do that.
I mean, I can see that. What I'm saying is Marvel started doing major things to clue you in, like, this is coming next. Like, when they went to, Tony Stark went to meet with...
General Ross and the Hulk.
Right. Right. You knew, you know, it's like...
To tell him about the Avengers Initiative. I thought that was dumb. Who was he recruiting?
Well, then, no. Because first, Nick Fury is... He met with
Nick,
Tony.
That's what I mean. Nick in Iron Man, Nick Fury tries to recruit Iron Man.
Right,
At the end of The Incredible Hulk, Iron Man goes to General Ross to talk to him about the Avengers Initiative.
Right.
But mind you, in the eyes of the public, the Hulk is not a hero, so who is he going to recruit?
Right.
Who is he going to talk to General Ross to recruit? That's my question. It just seems like an oversight. Like, they didn't know either. They were like, let's have him talk about it.
Yeah. Just to strike up the interest for what they knew they were going to build.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Basically. Yeah,
for sure. That's what I was saying. I mean, they've created a thing that has become that thing that everybody knows.
Some of them make sense. Some of them could just be added to the movie. Like, in Captain America, the first Avengers, his end credit scene is him waking up in modern. Yeah, I was like, you could have just put that in the movie. It didn't have to be an end credit scene because it's it doesn't. Because all their end credits.
That was the end credit scene?
Yeah, for Captain America, the first Avenger. It was him.
I know the scene. I was like, okay.
Yeah, it was like, you could just put that at the end of the movie. It didn't have to be the end credit scene. Because then it just feels like, it feels disingenuous. Like, you ended the movie, but we're like, nah, we still have another scene.
I don't like how much space they put. Because
to me, an end credit scene should do more than just, shouldn't be part of the movie itself. If you're going to do it, it should be something that they're setting up later if you're gonna do it.
Yeah.
And I feel like,
which they have done
what I do. Well, no, I mean, they have a lot that do that, but the ones that are just like, that's a scene in the movie that you could have just put in the movie to tie it in.
Yeah, because not everybody got time to
watch. That's true.
At the end of a movie,
I don't want to sit and wait if your end credit scene is garbage.
Yeah.
Like that end credit scene in Guardians of the Galaxy, man, I could have walked out.
Man, I was about to say something about Black Panther. What kind of forever? Somebody wants to be all dumb.
Don't care.
Dumb sauce. It was a good movie.
I'm sure.
All right, so let's rate. Who's first? Whose movie was this?
This was my movie.
That was his movie.
Oh, it was your movie? Oh,
yeah, it was my movie.
I will say this was, I liked it. It was, you know, my expectations were, I still didn't really have much, even though, you know, there was the first movie. But it just looked more like there was just more characters. So it was like, and then, of course, there was Idris Elba. So. Anyway, I will give it a 7, in an overall sense. You know, it was decent. It was decent.
All right. I really like the movie. Definitely more than the other. Wait. So which one is the Suicide
Squad?
This one.
Okay. So the other one. So I liked it better than Suicide Squad. but this one's better. I like that it was, the transitioning was better. It was different, you know, going back and forth, but it was comprehensible still. You know, I wasn't doing too much with the transition between times and what was going on.
You could follow it.
Yeah. And in general, as a movie, I appreciated it. I'd give it an 8. Solid 8. Yeah, that's it.
All right. I really like this movie. It was pretty easily one of my favorite movies in like the past 10 years. I do think, like, as far as it goes, like making... The replacements and honestly, a lot of this movie took place in the daytime, which is really good because you don't see that as much anymore, where a lot of movies take place in like dark and it's like harder to see, like even like the first Suicide Squad, majority of it is in like the dark night areas and stuff like that. But I really did. I think the casting, I think everything did good. They had emotional parts that got me. They had great action. Yes, and good comedy. Like, a lot of this movie was very well put together, and for me, it's a 10 out of 10.
Dang.
Yeah. Wow. I love this movie. I really do.
Wow.
I never not enjoy watching this movie. Yeah.
No, it's a fun movie.
I think it's just, it's rare like that you have those.
But I like that it was funny, like, pretty much through it, and but it didn't feel, like, extremely forced and, like, over.
Well, you know, like Thor Love and Thunder is, where it's like, yes, they wanted it to be a comedy first and then like a superhero movie second.
It really would, like,
whereas Ragnarok, I haven't seen it. Yeah, it was just, yeah, like, it's just Ragnarok finds the perfect balance, and yeah, then Thor Love, it was like they only read the reviews where people were like, oh, it was a funny movie, and it was like, they like the funny parts only.
Yeah,
all that. That's all I want in this movie from now on.
It's like, no, it's the balance director? That...
Yes, that and that's, yeah, the problem. Like, you did a good job. Still. Why? Yeah, but you... Why?
Well, it's just, it's like the same... It's
don't
like
listen
the
too
syndrome.
Much, man.
I don't know what it is. It's just like with Patty Jenkins with the second Wonder Woman. And it's like, that first one was so good.
I don't even know what she listened to.
Like, what were you doing?
That shit.
Why? Like... It's like...
I'm picking that for my Christmas movie.
Did somebody tell her...
That's not a Christmas movie.
Did somebody
It is at the end.
Look, did somebody tell her it wasn't funny enough, or...
I don't want to watch that.
What?
Dude, we are going to watch it.
I don't want to watch that.
We are going to watch it.
I don't want to watch it.
We are going
to
watch it.
I tried to watch it. I didn't even get
we
that.
Are. We are going to watch it.
No, but I'm saying, did somebody tell her it wasn't funny enough?
But the, and I think... I don't know.
Well, that's well, you know what? I'm sure it got a lot of criticism. You know why? And I'm not no feminist, but women do get a lot of criticism, you know.
Well, yeah, she got criticism.
No. I'm saying being a woman like that.
Yeah,
that,
no,
that,
I know.
That thing that women aren't as funny as men, right, and, okay, and aren't.
But that's
as
my thing. Like, was it supposed to be funny? Like, I, right, feel like.
But that's when what you men have. Oh, yeah, she's weak. She's not that great. Wonder Woman.
It's just so dumb to me, because it's like. Wonder Woman, the first one, I like. I enjoy that movie. Yes, I think that, yeah, villain-wise, it still lacks a lot.
Right,
but
it was
I think
good,
that is a good,
well put together
good, yeah,
movie.
Good, well good put together, yes, movie. However, the problem is, whatever criticism she tried to take from it, she just completely overdid it. And I think that's, yeah, the same thing with, that's like, the people who didn't like Ragnarok are the ones who are like, I didn't think this, or I didn't think that. And they were like, all right, well, we'll make sure we get everybody on this one. It's like, no, man, look. I am in the seat as a creator. You have to stop trying to please everybody.
You have to listen,
right,
to yourself. Because
it's not going to work, right? If you create anything art wise, no matter what it is, you have to do something that you enjoy first.
Right.
And then if a fan, right, will like it for what they know. If they don't, you don't. It's not your job to get,
no,
them in. It's not, yeah, your, no, job to be like, well, I got to make sure I get the guys who didn't,
well,
like it.
Well, see, this is the problem across the board with quote unquote art, because we miss the part that art is very subjective.
Yeah.
And that is, well, and that's what it is.
And that's the thing.
You can't make it anything other than that, because then now it's not art anymore.
Yeah, it's
now
okay
you're,
to not
you're
like something.
Literally,
yeah,
just catering.
And it's okay
to
that
people.
Not everybody likes it.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
And I'm saying, like, there's things that people love that I don't like, that, yes, I love that people don't like. Like, yes, it doesn't really matter at the end, because you're allowed to have those opinions. I would never tell the director to do something different. I would, right, be like, this is what I didn't like about it.
Right.
And that's why I don't like it. But it's still there. It exists.
Right.
And people
and
like that
or
shit.
Maybe, people
or
who
maybe
do
it's
like
not
it.
Your thing. Maybe you're, yeah, not, right, a big fan of that character.
Exactly.
Well, yeah.
Like
and, that. And that's understandable, too. Because it's just like we were talking about it yesterday. I like Spider-Man Homecoming, but the other two were kind of like, eh. Because I like Spider-Man in a good Spider-Man setting. In New York City, doing New York City shit. Mm-hmm. I don't like world... saving Spider-Man because it takes him out of his element. It's the, right, same thing with Batman. I like Batman and Batman stories, but with Justice League shit, it's like, all right, now we're just doing the most.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
but that's me. You know, I'm sure there's people like, I love Batman and Justice League. It's like, oh yeah, okay, that's fine.
So is, what's his name? Ben Affleck. Is he doing any more Batman?
No, he's out. No.
Oh, that's right. What's his name? Patterson.
Robin Patterson. Pattinson.
Pattinson.
Oh, okay, yeah, right. He did Emo Batman.
Yeah. He did look like you watched it?
Yeah.
Hey, so I was watching this dude, you know, some blogger, talking about, you know, Wakanda Forever. And, you know, he gave it mostly really good things. But he said, he just said, I just want to say they really need to, recast.
Yeah, everybody keeps saying that, but who cares?
And it's like, look, they gave an opening for something so that will make it so the Black Panther can live on.
But it's also still comic accurate because it's not the he's not the only Black Panther who has been in comic books. Shuri has been Black Panther at one point, so it's comic book accurate.
Right.
Recasting is just so you could say, oh, that Black Panther was in this movie.
Right. Yeah.
But it's fine because it still works and it's still comic book accurate. So people who wanted to be recasted are just kind of like, they're just saying, oh, it's hypocritical because the MCU recast.
They were even talking about Batman.
Yeah.
You know how it's been recast in numerous times.
But guess what? No one cares.
Right.
And the people who made it didn't care that if one person steps out, guess what? You can still make Batman.
I think what people care about is people get attached to not only the character, but also, you know, who portrays them. And I get that.
But what happened with Batman, they kind of set that stage early on. You know what I mean? Because Michael Keaton did his version. But then you got, Val Kilmer came after that. And then came...
Bat-nipples. George Clooney with his bat-nipples.
Right. George Clooney for two movies,
one.
No, it was one.
Michael Keaton was the only one to do two.
Out
of that group.
When it comes to that, I think at this point we're used to Batman.
Exactly.
Changing.
But that's the thing, because also there, one of the things that makes it different is there wasn't a shared universe in any way.
True.
So it's like when something like this happens, like Chadwick Boseman passed away, they could have recast it, but I think it was better for the story, for the continuation of how these things work, that they included it, and that was for them as well.
Yeah,
these were people they worked with him. They were close as family. You know, a lot of them were devastated.
And also,
so it's different. Like,
also good tribute.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just recasting though. That's the thing. Like, you recast Ben Affleck because he was like, I don't want to do it anymore.
Right.
Yeah. It's not like, well, we can't do it because Ben Affleck's not doing it. No, it's like this man passed away.
Right. It wasn't like he just came and just said, okay, I don't want to do it.
Because recasting would have been pointless. You would have been like, no. It's sad, but let's move forward while acknowledging that he existed. Like, it's better. I think it's better. I think anybody who complains about the recasting and calling it hypocritical is just they're just looking for things to hate.
Yeah, and at that point, and it's like, even though I get that, I think what happens is people think because it's Black.
And definitely.
That's why, and that this is going to kill it off or whatever. And that's like, it's not, I don't think necessarily that's the case, or it doesn't have to be the case.
No.
I don't know what they're going to do going forward in terms of Disney.
I think they'll be fine.
Yeah.
I think they'll be fine. I think, like I said, there's so much to pull from that you don't necessarily have to have T'Challa as Black Panther.
Exactly.
You set up so many different ways for people to return in certain things. Yes. We know that death isn't final. Michael B. Jordan can come back and take the mantle.
Okay, can we stop talking about it? Because I want to talk about the movie.
We're just talking about the recasting. And I think it's at this point, people like grasping at straws to find something to complain about.
Get
over it. If you didn't like it, just say you didn't like it. Say you're a racist. I don't give a fuck.
But he was Black. He liked it. He just said.
It's okay to be Black and racist.
He was afraid. He's afraid that the book is going to end here. And I'm like, the way it ended, and when you see it, you can tell me what you think.
I'm going to tell you this. If those first two Thors didn't end Thor, we're fine. are fine. Yeah. Iron Man 2 didn't stop them from making an Iron Man 3.
For real.
I've never seen that.
You're not missing it. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's forgettable as shit.
Easily move on and not have seen.
But as I'm saying, if that didn't happen, like I said, two Thors, not like the one in the middle, the first and the second were shit movies, and they still made a third.
Yeah,
it's not going to end it.
Yeah,
just because you didn't. Just because you thought
they made that third one, Redemption.
It's a good thing that they just changed directions. It's okay to imbue a little comedy in your character.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they found out how funny Chris Hemsworth.
He has good
be.
Comedic timing.
Yeah, he absolutely does.
Hey, I saw something that said he's got like early onset
Alzheimer's. Yeah,
what?
He said he's stepping away from acting for right now
Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
What?
He probably won't spend a lot of this.
That's what he said in the thing. He was like, you know, he was like, I've been working pretty much nonstop for like the past 10, 12 years that my kids are growing up and I'm missing it. So it's like, he's like, with this happening, he was like, I just kind of want to make sure I have as much time with them as possible. And
and I think he had a time. He had a time over the pandemic. He was just having a ball with his kids.
Yeah.
During that time. And that probably, you know, made it like, hey, you know, these are people that I want to watch grow up.
So next month, guys, we're in
it's Christmas.
Christmas territory.
Christmas. Yeah.
Great. I know what I want to watch.
Well, we don't even know what we're doing yet.
We don't know what our overall theme, even though we know it's got Christmas involved in it.
I don't care. Well, we're not watching it.
You don't know what I want to watch.
No, we're not watching it.
Well, we'll figure out what the ultimate goal of the theme will be, so we can
figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Challenge.
All right, guys, so, Mom, take us out.
Wow, really?
Catchphrase.
I'm very bad on
that. Yeah, you're very bad. Jonna, take us out.
Here I go.
I know damn well you didn't just match my catchphrase.
I feel like I say it better.
Nah, you don't have it because you kind of you just like stretched it. Yeah, it's got to be, you got to feel fluid.
Bleep blurp.
Hey, I go.